We actually know that today, as we speak, half the world's population lacks access to healthcare. And about 2 billion people lack access to care simply due to geographic distance. And the approach we bring to that is really around looking at the health workforce and really looking at how community-based primary care can be better delivered.
Welcome to Balancing Life's Issues, the podcast. Today we are celebrating World Health Day and this year's theme of My Health, My Right. Reading from the World Health Organization, this year's theme was chosen to champion the right of everyone, everywhere, to have access to quality health services, education, and information, as well as safe drinking water, clean air, good nutrition, quality housing, decent working and environmental conditions, and freedom from discrimination. But why do we need to care about world health? A topic that seems so far removed from the safety and comfort of my home and my community. Well, as it turns out, I recently became friends with someone in my community who happens to be the CEO of Last Mile Health, a global organization whose mission is to invest in those closest to the community, community health workers, and the systems that enable their success. Her name is Leisha McCormick, and she is here today to tell us exactly why this is such an important topic, and spoiler alert, it's because the world isn't as big as we think it is. Hi, Leisha. Welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Kai. It's so great to be with you.
I'm so glad to have you. And, you know, it's World Health Day is being celebrated on April 7th. And, you know, from what I've learned about you through our times of hanging together and becoming friends, I knew you did something really important. You were often traveling throughout the world in advocation of some sort of health-related thing. I wasn't really sure. And then, you know, I just kind of asked you, hey, would you be interested to do this World Health podcast with me? And you're like, sure. And then you sent me over a link to your organization. And not only is your mission just incredible, but you're the CEO of the organization. So can you just tell me more about, you know, what is your organization and the role you play in world health?
Absolutely. Well, I'm so flattered that you invited me to have this conversation. I think universal health coverage and access to health care is something that really matters to me. Mm-hmm. You know, I think we've touched on, but my journey is really one where I grew up in North America, grew up just outside of Washington, D.C., and I think I was very fortunate. I had regular access to healthcare throughout the entirety of my life, as did my family. And I had expected that I would actually study medicine. I went to university and took all the course prereqs so that I could become a doctor. And I think much to my father's chagrin, I made the decision before starting medical school to take a gap year.
Okay.
And in that gap year, I realized something. I realized that the way in which we structure how healthcare is accessed, many people are really suffering and unable to access care, not necessarily because there are inadequate clinical interventions, but because the way that our health systems are structured kind of really looks to reinforce marginalization.
Sure.
So did a bit of a shift and actually shifted over to really focus on public health with a particular focus on how health services can be made available to people that otherwise would go without access.
And this started in like your local community outside of DC, like community health or?
Yeah, it's a great question. So actually in New York City, kind of moved to the big bad city from Colorado, which is where I did my undergrad, and got a job doing direct service and case management as a community health worker. And as a community health worker, what I was doing is I was actually going to folks' homes that were navigating different issues, be it sort of mental health challenges or substance use disorders or, you know, other non-communicable diseases like hypertension or diabetes, or maybe folks were HIV positive. And a lot of what I saw was that these folks both deserved access to care and often the system was not structured in a way to meet them where they were. And I think the absence of their ability to access the care and the services that they deserved in a dignified way really changed my trajectory in terms of what I pursued for what I'm doing now.
And, you know, it's a beautiful segue into what this year's theme is for World Health Day. It's my health, my right.
Mm-hmm.
And it feels like you just are embodying that. So can you tell us what does that mean to you?
Absolutely. So, you know, I think, Kai, we know one another now, and the role that I currently sit in is actually leading an organization by the name of Last Mile Health.
Last Mile Health? I just want to make sure our listeners heard that right.
Yep, Last Mile Health.
Okay, fantastic.
And our focus really is on recognizing that illness is universal and access to care is not, and figuring out ways in which we can go the last mile to make sure that every patient has access to the care that they deserve. To put some numbers behind this, we actually know that today, as we speak, half the world's population lacks access to healthcare. And about 2 billion people lack access to care simply due to geographic distance. So a lot of what I do and my incredibly capable colleagues and sort of the community that I'm part of look at is, how do we ensure that the way that health systems are designed are inclusive of integrated services, particularly for those that would otherwise be out of reach of care? And the approach we bring to that is really around looking at the health workforce and really looking at how community-based primary care can be better delivered.
So, I mean, you said community-based, but that's was exactly your experience in New York. So, like, is there a correlation there? Like, does it feel the same or is it different?
So I think that there are absolutely clear correlations and lessons that can be learned between North America, Europe, Africa, Asia. And when we think about delivery of care to people in the community, actually by community health workers, by professionalized members of the community
on the ground,
who like really get their community's needs, who are often representative of the communities that they serve. We know that that actually yields to, one, a path towards achieving universal health coverage, especially in settings that might otherwise be more economically disadvantaged.
Mm-hmm.
But it also yields improved health outcomes. Like, we see tremendous increases in terms of access to immunizations or maternal health care, you know, proactive health screenings by community health workers, and that matters.
Yeah, yeah. And so I guess focusing on that community, so your mission is to make sure that those community-based programs are rich, vibrant, and like as up-to-date as possible. Would that be a good way to frame the work you do?
It's a great way of thinking of it. I think that when we think about what a exemplar community health system looks like, we know that that health system needs to have community health workers that are operating at national scale, that are integrated into systems of financing and also how data is used and administered. And those community health workers also need to get the inputs that they need.
Yeah.
To do their jobs. So they need the skills, the supplies, the supervision, and the salaries to make sure that they're able to show up every day and deliver care to their neighbors.
Do you feel like it's ever like just insurmountable?
I don't. Because the solutions are proven and demonstrated. Mm-hmm. You know, I look at a country like Liberia in West Africa, where I've lived off and on and worked for, at this point, a quarter of my life. And Liberia is regularly ranked among one of the most economically disadvantaged countries in the world. And what I can tell you is that Liberia is on track to achieve universal health coverage by the end of calendar year 2025.
Oh my gosh, are you serious?
100%. So go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say, I mean, when you, I guess the stigma associated with, you know, poorer countries, you would just assume that the healthcare is less adequate than our own?
Yeah. I mean, there can be that presumption. And I think what we've seen in Liberia is that there has been a clear-eyed commitment by the government to bring on community health workers, over 4,000 of them to date, to serve a population of a little under 5 million. And those community health workers every day are present going door to door to make sure that kids are getting the care that they need, that moms are being supported, that people are able to be healthier. Mm-hmm. And to me, seeing that and seeing it, you know, something that would have been presumed impossible actually like made possible really is a lesson that I think many other countries can look to and learn from.
Yeah, and I guess, you know, why do you think that community-based program works? And it might be a leading question, because I think what I'm trying to get us to is this idea of empathy and like emotional intelligence. Is do you feel like those are some of the traits that are with a community health worker that translates into better healthcare?
100%. I think the ability to be present, to relate, to understand the social determinants and the context that a individual or a family is navigating matter. And the ability to deliver services, healthcare is one of them. Context matters. Yeah. And, you know, I think that we're regularly seeing that mom's willingness to listen to advice for their kid, or their ability to even just physically access the treatment for malaria that their child so deserves, that is made possible because of community-led primary care and community health workers.
Wow, it's such a beautiful mission. And it just kind of brings along this idea that how connected the world actually is. And I feel like we really felt that during COVID.
I think you said it so well. You know, I think that what COVID really reinforced is that there is no them, there's only us. And the interconnectivity of truly global health at this point, it means that, you know, I lived and worked in Liberia and West Africa during the 2014-2015 Ebola outbreak, which I think was a very scary time. And what we saw was that a two-year-old child in the rainforest of Guinea fell ill with fever, vomiting, and pretty shortly thereafter, that child's aunties fell ill. And then before we knew it, we actually had an Ebola outbreak that spread across West Africa, but also where we saw people getting sick, like in our very own New York City. And I think COVID really reinforced the fact that illness is universal, access to care is not. And some of the best approach in terms of pandemic prevention and detection is by making sure that there are well-equipped, supported community health workers in each and every community.
Yeah, because I think what you hear now, it's not a matter of if, but when it happens again.
You're spot on there. Yes.
And I don't know, just personally as your friend, it feels like this is a really heavy, heavy job. Or maybe you can help me better understand, like, what's the emotional weight you carry, and like, how do you maintain work-life balance? Because that's what we do at Balancing Life's Issues. We try to make sure an employee, a manager, a CEO is taking care of themselves as well, right? Because ideally you pour yourself into your work and it's a lifelong mission, but you can get wrapped up in that. You know, how do you maintain a sense of self with all this going on around you?
You know, I think working in mission-driven work is a privilege. And you're right that it's something where so much of our identity and our sense of purpose can get tied up in that mission-driven work. I think something I've come to learn is that there are really three things that matter to me in my professional endeavors. One is being able to work on things that are values aligned. And in my core, I truly believe that nobody should be left out. So working on something that is really focused on inclusive access to healthcare fuels me.
Yeah. It gets you up in the morning. If it was a really hard day, you know you can get up tomorrow because that value is aligned.
100%. And I think, you know, the point you just made, Kai, also around like working on things that are hard, we're doing this work not because it's easy, but because it is hard. If these were challenges that people had already addressed, there would be no need to wake up every day and to tackle these things that are difficult. It's hard to work in remote areas. It's hard to work in communities that have often been neglected. It can be hard to work with government partners. And still, it's really important. And that kind of brings me to the third thing that I regularly focus on and that I think is so critical. And for me, and I think for so many that do this type of mission-oriented work, is the community that you're part of. And I stand in service with a team of, over 200 health professionals that are getting up every single day because they believe that people have access to or should have access to care. And more broadly, we're part of a broader and growing ecosystem of people that believe and know that healthcare is a human right and that we have it within our power to realize that vision.
I'm so glad you ended with community because, it's one of the five buckets that over here at BLI that we empower people to put some water into every once in a while, like the importance of your community and the fact that I just ended up meeting you through some friends down at a brewery around the corner. It just kind of speaks to this whole idea of community and what fills you up and keeps you energized. And I think the last thing I wanted to ask you, because I know your time is extremely valuable, is this can all feel so removed from the self. Like for me, like I'm imagining like world health, like it's insurmountable, it's huge. And I think for a lot of listeners, it's probably a similar feeling. However, like what do you feel is like one thing someone like myself could do to be more engaged in world health or to be a better advocate for it?
Well, the types of solutions that we're looking at in the majority world or, in Asia and Africa are equally relevant here, just outside of New York City. The notion that community-led, community-driven primary care is the path that is going to help us achieve universal health coverage is no longer a debate. It's just a truism. And I often reflect upon the idea of like pray for peace, work for justice. And the path for each and every one of us, I think, really can be thinking about ways in which communities that maybe had previously not had a voice or that have been excluded from services, be that healthcare or otherwise, right? Like education. So much of the work that you're doing is so important in terms of whose voices are represented in these conversations related to work-life balance. Finding paths to make sure that those that otherwise might not be invited to the table or invited to the healthcare screening are, I think, is a really admirable and important way for all of us to play in a part in, building a healthy future, that, we all want to be part of.
No, it's so well said. And I think maybe what I heard in there was, pay attention to health rights this year and vote in that direction of health right and advocate for health rights for all. And Leisha, I can't thank you enough for being here. I know you're in between moving and traveling and all of this, so thank you so much for your time and energy. It's been wonderful to have you.
Hi, it's been such a joy. Thank you so much for inviting me and for being a friend.
Of course. Until next time, everyone, take care. This has been a production of Balancing Life's Issues with your hosts, Kai Sorensen and Wendy Wallner. Produced by me, Kai. Rate, leave a review, and subscribe to the podcast wherever you listen so you can get brand new episodes as they drop. Got an idea for the show? Email me, kai at balancinglifesissues.com. Anything to add, Miles?